Bye. Just gonna put this back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sarabo Isai. Welcome to the second or third sheet. Men Yuna Loi Sachmoid. Kodrish Chodesh Uder. So Uder's Rishtaiv is Loi Sachmoid, or Gematria, or Remes, or something. Look at. What's the Chodesh Uder got to with Loi Sachmoid? Everything. Why?
That's where you give the share.
Oh. So first I want to answer a little question about the mazel of Uder. It says in the Sefer HaKadoshim that the mazel of Chodesh Uder is Dugim. And that's not true. Because Dugim, Anikra Piskis, Latinish, fish.
Pisces. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Sandanos, huh? Is fish.
Pisces.
So the fish, everyone who learned about Mazulas, including in our Shir Nil Chesed HaTorah 2 days ago, learned that Mazulas have to do with the sun. Right? What Mazel means is that the sun travels within that constellation. That's literally what it means. Right? And therefore, it's got nothing to do with the moon or with Rish Chodesh. And therefore, there's a Torah from, I read that it says in the Cheskinia, I didn't look it up, that said that it says in the Rishalmi that when the Mullah Karim al Chumah with the Yidden, they found people whose mazel works well on that day. People say because it's their birthday, I'm not sure if that's what it says, but people, everyone knows that every mazel, how do you call it in English? Every person who has a connection with one of the stars, like his horoscope or his, there's a different word that I'm looking for, his sign, right? Everyone belongs to a sign. And that every sign has a certain day and a certain year and a certain month, like a certain part of time, where they're successful. So if you do start something or do something in that time, that's when your lucky day. That's a theory of astrology. And therefore, if you're very smart at making war, then you will get the people to fight for you to be the ones who are in their lucky day. That's why Moshe told Yeshia, "V'chalun yanushim v'tzayel lechem amalek mocha."
Said tomorrow. Why is it that you're lucky?
Why that day is lucky? Usually because you were born in that star, or because the way in that, I don't know the Hilchos astrology very well, but there's a thought
that your nature is built for that day.
Something like that, yeah. There is part of time which works well better for you. These things, that there's natural causes for that also. I mean, natural, not that astrology is not supposed to be natural. But everyone, these things are true regardless, right? Some people are night people, some people are morning people, some people are beginning of the week people, some people are end of the week people. Things like that are observational things. They're not things that astrologers made up. Astrology is just a theory.
Of course, the more has every day what you are, right?
Astrology is just a theory to say that if you were born at this time, then you belong to this and this sign, and therefore you're going to be successful at this and this date, and so on. So anyways, I'd have some tzaddik thought of a theory like this. That's how Malek, he got people who are in a lucky day to fight, and that's why they were winning. So Moshe told Yeshia that you have to find someone that's doing even better. Now, how could you find someone that's doing even better? Right? It's like this. We have something called the 13th month. Now, what's the sign of the 13th month? N. There isn't. If you have no sign, then you could be successful any day. So, he found people that were all born in the second Adar. Of course, don't ask me like halacha question that Ibn HaChodesh was invented later, so it couldn't have been. But anyways, he found people that were born in the second Adar. And then when the Amaleki comes and is like, I'm going to get one person whose sign is stronger than your sign, it's like, there's a null error. There's nobody to talk to. He's from Chadash Adar Bais.
Well, shouldn't that be the opposite? That you have any miles and it should be even worse?
Another good question.
No, I think it's these type of things are really going against the strong. That's my point, is that if I can't say that, I don't have astrology. Please say, according to astrology, it would be worse. But our point is that maybe there is. I think sometimes.
No, I think
these things are said that way.
sometimes, and some. But why? So now, now.
It's a non-starter. Because I say there's a 13th month doesn't mean that the
Muslim. Ah, good mark. Now you have a kasha. This is the same kasha as was asking before. That this doesn't make any sense if you know anything about astrology or anything about how this is supposed to work. It doesn't make any sense. Because the fact that your Bezdin has a problem with the lunar and the solar month not adding up, and therefore you figured out a chachma to make a 13th month in 7 out of 19 years, that doesn't tell the stars that then stars don't listen to you. There, anyways, always have 12 months or 12 signs of the zodiac each year, each solar year. That is a gewaltige kasha. And now I'm going to tell you the teretz of this kasha. You want to know the teretz? Teretz is like this. That nobody was ever dumb enough to think that the stars influence people. By which I mean, the stars are very high, very far. They have a level in reality that is much higher than our level. You know how I know, right? How do I know that the stars are better morally than us? Because they never burn out. People have burnout, and stars don't burn out. People sometimes come in time, sometimes come late. Stars always come in time. So stars are perfect. The stars are perfect. You wish you could be a star.
It's called your star.
That's why it says, whenever we try to make, say, a human being is really amazing, we say he's a star. This is in the Bible. This is in every cultural reference that we know. Star is something amazing to be. The Rambam says that when someone knows about the stars, as it says in Tehillim, ki ere shmecha maaset pesech erev chav mashe kenam, then I think, ma'anish ksis kerenu. Right? In other words, when I see the stars are so great, I look down at the people and I say, these people, they're not, they don't stand up to the stars. They don't compare. They're very bad relative to the stars. So now, therefore, it's very weird. Nobody ever thought, since this is the basic thought, nobody ever thought that the stars care about you when they control your life. They're so much beyond you, so much higher than you. They have better things to do with their time than worry about who's going to win a battle. Of course, they don't worry, but therefore, we have a basic understanding that, on the other hand, stars make light for us, and they tell us where to go when we're in the desert or in the sea, and so on. But you have to understand that that is not directly. Right? Stars don't directly do anything for us. Only through the intermediary, through the mediation of humans, or we could say of human souls, or of human understanding. In other words, since I can look at the star and understand where I am relative to the star does that through my looking. If I wouldn't be looking, the star wouldn't be able to tell me where to go. This is why nobody ever goes outside and hears the stars talking to him. You look at them first, and then they talk to you. And then they control their life.
Doesn't everything really work that way?
Everything works that way, yes. Not everything, in other words, things on your level don't work like that. Your friend pushes you without you asking him, looking at him, so it doesn't work through you. Or when you slip on a banana peel, the banana peel doesn't work through your soul. It's a lower thing, in some sense, working on you, or something in your level of your body that's working on you. But higher things always work like that, or most higher things. Therefore,
so I'm not talking about pushing so much, but let's say when you want help from someone, right? It's always that you want that.
Not
help.
Always, yeah. But
you
I'm talking.
You
want
to go to the doctor. You're yes. By the doctor. You're the master putting yourself.
No,
under
but
the
just to be clear,
surgery, etc., etc.
Yeah, but the doctor is not helping you through your mind, right? It's your mind that came to him, but he's not helping you through your mind. The stars can only help you through your mind, unless the doctor tells you follow certain instructions, and you need to use your mind to follow the instructions. That's true, but usually he would just give you a shot or something, and then he's not helping you through your mind. Trees cannot follow the stars. They follow the stars.
No, but humans can follow trees the way they follow stars.
If the trees would be telling you something. The problem is they don't tell us as many things as the stars tell us.
David Deutsch uses
a lot of things, though.
As our argument, I think, for the importance of humans in the sense that they don't really get affected by everything. Could be affected by everything.
Okay, maybe. The point is that when humans are affected through higher causes or through the stars, then it works through the human soul. Not there doesn't jump. Another way of saying it is
they don't cause the motion? They don't cause motion?
Yeah, but that's not what we're thinking about. We're thinking about human interactions or human influence.
I know,
influence
but
on humans.
According to the theory that they cause the motion.
Oh, in the sense that the stars, just to be clear, in the sense that the stars cause the sun causes because it's sunset and sun and sunrise. That's not what I'm talking about. That's we don't need astrology for that.
If motion starts.
No, that doesn't work in that sense. Okay, this is a whole tiftoida. But yeah, the astrology was not. There was machlokes about this in ancient people. But astrology was generally not said to work in that way. Or at least the Jews don't believe that works now.
In what sense are you talking
about? Wait. Everyone has so many questions, and I can't even finish like one paragraph of thought. So my point is that the way to say this is that things like the stars, even according to the people, believe that they do something, only do things through souls. So the star must go through a soul in order to do something to you. And that soul might be yourself or might be someone else. Right? Because someone teaches you how to look at the stars. Or someone mediates the stars to you. Or he tells you, today is the day of the star. That's why people go to astrologers, right? It's not directly to this. So the astrologer is playing an active role in having the stars influence your life. He's not a passive role. Astrologers, just like most ancient so-called knowledge workers. We think of knowledge workers as passive roles in some sense. Like a doctor is just, he's not healing you, he's just telling you what the knowledge tells you. But any knowledge worker worth anything is actually healing you. Of course, by knowledge higher than him, but it has to go through him in order for it to work. So this is just like a Rebbe, right? Okay, so therefore, if you understand this, now you'll understand something very, very interesting. That if you have someone who is actually acting as the shliach, or the mimutza, right, the mediator between the stars and the people, or even the moon and the people, even things that we could see somewhat easily, then it's really that person that has some degree of freedom or some ability to determine how it's going to work. You have to understand that what does it even mean to say that on a certain day is your lucky day? What makes days into days? And weeks into weeks, and months into months, and years into years? So Bakiva discovered something very interesting. Bakiva discovered that it says in the Pusik, right? And he says, oh wait, it's we that called Me'adam, right? Of course we call them based on something we know. He's not saying that it's arbitrary, that the people that are calling it can just do whatever they want. They have to be channeling the stars. They have to be channeling what is going on in heaven. But they have to be channeling it. And that means that if those people tell you, and you believe them, as long as you believe them, if you don't believe them, that doesn't work. But if those people tell you that today is Tuesday, then it's Tuesday. Because Tuesday never touched you without going through people. So in other words, the Tuesday that was before on Tuesday is now on Thursday. Tuesday could be Chal on Thursday, if the Bezin says so. It's a problem. And this is all real. Though nothing has to be subjective for any of this to work. So now you understand that when we say that we split up time in a different way, right? So for example, there's some person, like we can understand it. There are some people that like the beginning of every period of time. That's when they're successful. Some people that are successful at the end of them. Some people that are successful precisely in the middle of them. And so on. That's basically what all these astrological sign belongings boil down to, right? When you'd cut up the year into 12 parts, or the sun's cycle between the stars, the 12 parts, then some people enjoy the beginning, some people the end, some people are successful at this stage of the process, some people at that stage of the process, and so on. But now when this comes down to people, what processes mean for us has to do with how we control our time, with how we set up our time. So if you set up your time slightly off-center from how the stars set up their time, that's going to channel the stars through that way. So if you say that Rosh Hashanah is on Sunday and really it's on Monday, then the Monday moved to Sunday. The Monday Ha'elyon moved to the Sunday Ha'tachton. And now it's Sunday or Monday, whichever one you want it to be. And now all the influences that there are on people, some people like Sundays, some people like Mondays, is going to happen when the roof said that it's Sunday, not when their so-called real Sunday is in heaven. Very simple. And if you don't understand, you should do tshuva.
I don't know what you're saying. You're saying that you need to have disciples to be able to channel the stars, but then when if you're like off, then the stars are also off. I don't understand.
Yeah.
So then you don't have to have the cycle in the first place. Hanukkah cycle, Zubuz the Vils, and the stars anyway follow suit.
What?
Exactly. That confusion understand. Is my confusion.
And this, but this does, this is not is so basic that it's pasnish that you should even have that. Because if there's a big,
no.
If there's like an electric current, like I'm gonna use the stupid machine that everyone uses, but just so you should see that the framework is not, there's nothing wrong with the framework. If there's a big electrical current that has two ends, that has a positive side and a negative side, and that's fixed, you can't change the positive into negative. But for me to get it, I need to connect a wire and bring it all the way down to me and do a transformer that becomes small enough so I could have any use of it. And then I bring it to me. Now, the place where the negative is right and positive is left or so on, that's how it is in the source. But when I connect it to me, I could put it all the way around if I want, and it's going to be the real positive from there and the real negative from there. But by the Nishtayan and by me, when they're going to come to me, they're going to be opposite. They're going to be at the opposite sides. There's no problem with that. It's very, all of this is very real. Both you need me, and both I am actually channeling the thing. I'm not creating it fresh. I am channeling that thing, and I have some degree of freedom to put it wherever I want.
Maybe explain the word channeling here, because I don't understand.
Kapshito, channel, like a noiris in Kabbalah.
I just don't.
Channel just means that you make the thing that you're getting work through your way.
So
that's what it means.
Let's say a thing of what? Let's say in astrology, there's the kayak of a star that what?
Yeah. Whatever it does. The star says today is the first day of the year. Some people like the first day of the year.
The star now, says it's the first day of the year?
Yeah, there's a cycle in the stars. It's a real cycle. Don't say it is. And then I say, now this first doesn't directly touch me. It only touches me through this whole series of pipes. Humans, so souls, what we'll call them pipes, so you should understand, because you don't understand when I say it more mifshit. So let's call it pipes. And now, the last plumber in the pipe could move it over 2 days or 3 days or 10 days. I don't know how many. There's a limit to how many days he can move it over. But he can move it over a little bit, and then you're going to have the first. And if I tell you today is the first, because this is when the year started.
Let's dial the stars in this whole picture. I could still do the same thing. I don't understand.
Again, so maybe it makes sense. I need the electricity to move into my wall. I don't need the power station at all. That's what you're saying. Thank you very much. You don't need it.
Maybe I don't understand it either, so I don't know. I'm just venturing.
Makes sense.
Just give a mushal. Now I have to be meshuvah to this mushal.
The mushal is supposed to explain you why the structure is very normal.
The days get shorter and longer during the year, right?
Yeah, but you don't have to notice them exactly when they do. If you notice it by delay, then that's when they got shorter.
Yeah.
The real shortening of the days happened for you in the time when you noticed it, or in the time when someone told you to notice it.
So I'm saying is, if I say it's the day when the change in the sun, it's 5 days after the change in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
That's when you see the sun start to grow. It's
the
five
sun,
days later.
The sun's influence
that's
on you.
That's how it is, right? I think officially new.
There's always the reality is different, is because the sun even physically takes time and takes some processes to get through to us and so on.
Yeah.
So everything is like this. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
what I'm saying is that the psychic
from the power source, whatever the stars.
Psychic powers, in other words, soul powers. Once the things go through humans, they gain many degrees of freedom, more than they had. When you're talking about, like, the sun takes 8 minutes to get to us, and the star that you're seeing was dead 5 years.
Because conceptually
and so on.
And not physically.
Yeah. And that's the part that's interesting, right? You're talking about soul kind of, or human kind of
influences. But I guess
influences.
Still the question is how does that actually work?
How does it make you fight them?
Wait, that's a different question.
What?
How does it make you fight
them? I'm just assuming it works. I'm answering a question within a system.
Yeah.
And I didn't come here to explain the whole system. I'm just saying, what do you mean it makes you fight better? Some people fight better in the morning, some people in the afternoon. Now, that thing is real. It's the sun that causes the morning and afternoon. It's not a human invention. But if I shut off the lights and I tell them to sleep for 2 hours later, then the morning is then. And then the morning people are happy then. As simple as that.
Just like I can make the morning night and the night morning.
You could to an extent. To an extent you could, yes. To an extent. And therefore, the people that live according to the Rish Chodesh, that's when their month starts. And if it started in the day, that's wrong for the moon, who cares?
So in a sense, you make your own luck?
You control it. You channel it. That's what I like, the word channel. People use it, probably overuse it, but it's just a little explanation of what it is. Yeah. You channel it, of course. Now, it's not your own. That's what I'm saying. We're talking about, for example, cultures and like this Beis Din that creates Rish Chodesh and so on.
Not the source, but you're the channel. Like,
what are you saying? Yeah, also not only you. Things are hard to do yourself. Most significant things. That's why we have a Beis Din. And that channels it. And when they, if we assume that somehow when they make it Rish Chodesh, then they're deciding that it's a 12th of the solar year also. Then the few times when they make a 13th month, they're saying, this one is empty, we're going to do whatever we want with it. And then it's really like that, because they pushed all the shefa, all the energies, whatever you want to call them, of all the 12 stars into the 12 months prior, and then they're left over with time to do what they want. That's the whole trick. Just like anything, like if you finish your work, you know there's some people that have salaries every bi-weekly, some months they have three of them, right? How could it be?
Some have 5 weeks. So you're the first of the week, third of the month, and fifth.
Very good. So those months are longer?
No.
They are longer. They have more money in them.
Yeah.
they actually help, depending on how you're triangulating between different schedules.
The attributions that they do with this don't really match up. It goes well beyond what you're saying. That's the point. Like what they attribute to that gets affected by these things is so much more than what your explanation offers.
I don't understand. This is a question?
Yeah.
Okay.
You have an explanation how it works. Problem is they're saying it works for things that don't...
Who is they?
The first thing we started with, fighting on birth.
No, nobody, that's what I said. Nobody ever thought that it works without going through souls.
So how does that explain... that you fight better birthday or someone born...
I didn't explain. I explained what I came to explain. Exactly. Because the person whose soul his star goes through decided that this month belongs to him and not to some star. And that works. And therefore it belongs to him. And therefore you fight better according to what he said you should.
Can I have more than one or just one?
What do you mean more than one?
Can I have all the months or all of them except one?
Sure. The fake pours in the
potion. Why can I have more than 1 month?
What do you mean you can't have more than one?
Can I have more than 1 month?
Is that better what?
Let's say it's my birth month. I don't know.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Not sure what's the question.
I didn't get there.
I mean, this person decides that this is his month, right?
Okay.
Can I decide?
I don't know. Try.
Okay, I'm just curious.
Depends how many calendars you observe. You try to observe more calendars.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like some Jews have Rosh Hashanah twice a year because they observe both the secular New Year and the regular New Year. For most people, it's very hard. Like you take one seriously and the other one is not real. But you're good. If you take both seriously in some way, then you're good. I think that's very hard because of the logic of a New Year is that there's some times that are not the New Year. It's very hard to like, wait, no. So it's not the middle of the year, it's the New Year.
Chinese New Year.
Yeah, everyone feels it. People that are in retail and then those things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then they're, because you're working with different people, those people have that chitta, have that thing. Okay, you don't understand what I'm saying, so I'm not going to say other things. So the story is like this. I don't know what's so hard to understand, but I guess. Not like this. We discussed last week, the conclusion of the Shir was that Lisachmed is the internal counterpart, so to speak, of all the mitzvahs before it, or specifically the four mitzvahs before it. That's what we discussed. Is that correct?
Correct.
Now, we have to talk something a little bit about the fact that this is not actually accepted. There's a big controversy about this. And the way in which people read this has very much to do with the way in which they understand all the things we're talking about, which is the discussion of how to be a good person and what it means to be a good person, as opposed to being a person who does good things, right? Just having good actions. So there's two contrary readings of Leis Achmoed, corresponding to the wrong shita and the correct shita. In other words, the wrong one is what we discussed in the beginning of last week's shiur, which is a kind of interiority or internality. For some reason, I like it sounds better the second way, which is entirely self-focused, entirely about me feeling the correct feelings or having the correct internal emotions, dispositions, things like that. And the second one, which understands all of internality as directed towards the outside. It's just you're the kind of person who could be relied on or who will always, from his inside, will flow the outside actions. But that's still directed towards the towards the person. Those are the two readings. I should probably try to do some more justice or some more Talnikavschus for the first reading, because I guess that there's some logic to it, there's some way in which it makes sense. Should I? But I don't know how to do that. Should probably give it some more kindness somehow, that Mahalach. What I could say is like this. You've read some of these stuff, right? So, certain Mrs. Farama, I think they're the I'm not sure what Rav Lotzato says about this. He talks about it. I just don't remember how his response is entirely. Another person who is entirely seems to be on this side is Avraham Ibn Ezra. And the third person before that who seems to be on the wrong side is a Yid named Philo. So Philo wrote this book on the Aseres HaDibros, as we discussed. And when it gets to the Sachmud, he gets into a whole huge long drasha bashing desire. Or in Greek, I forgot the word. The word he used for passion and desire. That's what he gets into. And he explains that desire is the worst thing. Desire causes all the problems in the world. Both the kind of problems of eating too much and drinking too much and stealing and hurting yourself and hurting others and not dedicating your life to the right things. All of these kind of problems start with desire. And he seems to say something very weird, which is something like, since all the bad things that people do, they do because they want. So if we want to like attack this thing at its root, we should attack the wanting instead of the bad things. And we have this framework, which is like a framework which we find in many Moses frameworks. Like, so it somehow has sources in like Plato and in some, maybe some parts of Chazal, where we say things like, the problem is wanting, or we could specifically say unrestrained by reason wanting, right? Maybe not wanting as such, but it's not in other words, yes, wanting as such, but not saying that there's no good wantings, but wanting when you let yourself do what you want, that we hear people saying this, right? Let yourself do what you want, you'll turn out to be the worst person. So therefore, the basic way of not being a bad, worst person is to not just do what you want, to not follow your desires. So there's like this general statement that says that ethics boils down to, or like in one very significant sense is, do not follow your desires. And this gets read into Lo Yisachmed, do not desire, so or do not follow your desires, do not be a desirous person. Do not live with your desires. Because people that do that, today they want this, tomorrow they want that, and all evils in the world come from people following their desires. That's a theory promoted by Philo. And by who else? Maybe. Questionable, I think. Ibn Ezra seems to understand the Sachman in this way, or explicitly understand the Sachman this way. I'll show you if you want. But I'm not sure if he understands it in this way. I'll tell you the third way of understanding it also. That might be the real reading of Ibn Ezra. But Philo for sure understands it this way. And that's a way of understanding life that I think makes sense somehow to many people. Like the main thing is to stop doing what you want.
Is that what Philo is saying? Stop doing what you want or to try to not want those things?
Not want so much. Want less. Stop wanting so much. Right? That would be, it's like a fight against the wanting. Wanting is not a very good translation. Something like desire or what we call tava in our language is a better translation.
Why does he care if you want as long as you don't do
that? Oh, people, interestingly, people usually tend to end up doing what they want.
Not only that, because then what you're doing is not everything.
And
what
the
you
thing
want.
Is that wanting, that desire is something uncontrolled, right? Something like, okay, today I want to kill you, tomorrow I want to sleep with that guy's wife, the third day I want to be a billionaire, the fourth day I want to travel somewhere. Wanting is something uncontrolled. So if that becomes your criteria in life, then that's very messed up. I think that's something like the theory.
Why does it automatically equate to doing?
Wanting means wanting to do. There isn't any wanting that isn't wanting to do. I don't think anyone disagrees with that. The point is that they understand the evilness as the being a wanting, a too much baltaiva kind of person, too much doing what they want kind of person. This is a slightly, as I said, a slightly kinder reading. You can understand it this way. Right? There's two kinds of people. There are people that do what they want. There are people that do what they think is right.
In Philo's world.
Well, this is a reasonable way of describing humans. Not crazy. I think that it doesn't do enough justice to the kind of desire that exists, but
there's not external things, let's say, holding him back from doing what he wants.
Sometimes, that's okay. Sometimes.
So then he could be a person that wants, but doesn't do for whatever.
But mostly not. Mostly not, right? Where we have this, I'm not sure what, like,
I don't know, let's say he's scared of getting caught, or, I don't know, whatever. You know, he just doesn't want to deal with the ramifications of everything.
And, but you know the truth, that you don't usually get caught.
What?
You don't usually get caught.
Stealing,
I don't know if you know.
Everyone always gets caught in the end. I've never
you hear about the ones that got caught.
What?
I'm not being the exit out of here.
I hear.
In other words, you're asking something like, why would people think that desire? I explained, but this is not the problem. Talk about things that you could do. You could fress the whole ice cream. You don't get caught for that. Like, for example, you could eat all of the chazen in the world. Okay, that's another example. Okay. You're not going to get caught. In other words, there's many, many ways to destroy yourself without destroying other people from desire. Right? And usually people, it's in your power. The question is not if it's going to happen. But of course, desire means I'm going to do it, or not going to do everything I desire, because usually you desire more things than you want, than you manage to do, or you could do. But you will, and it is something uncontrolled. That's what I'm trying to get at. This reasoning is saying something. And I think if you want to make sense of this, and this is the way in which it's true, I would be critical of it in a different way. But the way in which it's true is that the criteria, the thing that is good, can't be the answer to what is good or to what you do, what you base your decisions of what to do in life is, can't be what you want, can't be what you desire, because that's something unlimited, that's something like anything.
It's possible, punk, that happens, but that's not what you drive.
What happens?
That the right thing is something that you want.
Well, that's what being a sachmednik means. Sachmednik is a kind of guy who does what he likes, but not what he wants or what he desires. And that's a weird kind of guy. Those kind of guys are usually the worst. And therefore, train yourself to not be that kind of guy. Whenever you desire something, you know the story of Rebbe, some Chassidish story that goes like, goes on many different rabbis. Like, he's a kid and he's like, I don't know, he's hungry or thirsty or something like that. And the guy's like, okay, so why don't you eat? He's like, because my father taught me that you don't do what you want. Right? You don't drink when you're thirsty. You drink when you need to drink. That's the kind of training that's behind this. You could see that makes sense. Not because it's bad to do what you want, but because wanting is not a good enough reason to do things, or shouldn't be the primary reason to do things. If you want, we could say pleasure, right? Physical pleasure, because usually when people talk about this, they talk about physical pleasure, right? Don't make pleasure your God, right? Don't make it the thing that sets right from wrong to you. Because that's something very unlimited, very wild, very unrestrained. We could say a story where all the evils in the world have their source in this. That's the story that Philo says. Plato sometimes says it. I mean, maybe in Chazal sometimes say it. They talk about the Yetzer Hara as the source of all evils. And sometimes what they mean is just desire the source of all evils. Because otherwise Yetzer Hara has no meaningful content, right? Yetzer Hara is the will to do evil. Thank you very much. Many times when the Chazal talk about Yetzer Hara as the source, like they have this idea of Yetzer Hara as the source of evil, what they mean to say is desire is what causes all most bad things. Or another way, following Yetzer Hara, right? In other words, following what you think will be pleasurable to you. So that's a reasonable making sense of this kind of reading, of this kind of understanding. Why do I think there's something weird with this? Why don't I like it?
But then everything you do is never a desired thing that you're doing.
Well, like I said, but I didn't say that. You could add desire to things that you're doing, but that shouldn't be the reason you're doing them. You've heard of such trainings, of such people talking this way about, like, Musar. Musar is all about not doing what you want. not following your desires.
It sort of misses the point.
Which point does it miss?
You should want to do good things.
Oh.
I don't know if this is the right way. Maybe that you could be a person who wants the right things, and then you should like your desire, basically. It's only speaking for like a bad person, essentially.
Well,
bad desire.
Again, but I'm going to give you my answer again. It's speaking about someone, when we speak about against desires, we speak against making desires your criteria of the good.
Well, that is the point. So what should your criteria be?
Oh, something like that's why desires is usually set against reason or restraint or limit. Well, that's what it means, right? It's always there's always a dichotomy here. Whenever someone says don't be a choymed, right? Don't be a chemdenik, but they mean say but be a reasonik or something like that. So don't be a reasonable person, but be a how do we? I don't know how the people the Bible say this. Very good. That's exactly. So this theory says. This theory, in other words, did we discuss this last time? There's this question, like, why is this long list after this Achmed? And there's two opposite readings of it. My reading is that Lois Achmed is of those things, but this reading would be the opposite. That the source of all these things is something more amorphous and more basic called Tzachmed. If you will be a Chomed, you will end up with Eshzrecha, Besrecha, Shorevecha, Morevecha, Shorevecha. But the problem is, the way they frame the problem is the wanting is the problem. It's the opposite. And therefore they would say, Leis Achmed is a new mitzvah. It's adding information. Not like I said last week. Not like my pshat, which says it doesn't really add anything. All it adds is don't be the kind of person who wants all these things or does all these things. What they're saying is it adds. No, it's adding a general, you could say, call it a general way of working on yourself, right? Like a general way of being a good person, which is a total new thing. It's a mitzvah shalev, right? Chavis HaLovis seems to think things like this, right? There's a new area called mitzvah shalev, which means something like, instead of just, like people would say, like the Chavis HaLovis would say, if you're just going to be working on liking the right things or like not eating some things that's not yours or things that are not kosher or things like that, then you will still have the desire, which is the source of the problem, which is what causes all these people. So I have a simpler way for you to live. Just stop being a desirous person and then you will have solved all issues in life at once in some sense. That seems to be the argument for this way of thinking. And they say the opposite. If you don't solve desire, then you know you're gonna have one nistar, and then you're gonna eat chazer.
That would
it's not a pill. It's some kind of work.
Same thing as well. According to this thing.
Not a pill. No, pill is not a good example because pill is you're thinking of like solving the physical sense, like cutting off your be misadis yourself or something like that. That's not the exact response here. It's saying become a different kind of person, right? It's saying become a person who is controlled by his reason, not by his yetzirah. Become a person who's controlled by like Rebbe Yechon said. There's many reasons of this, but one reading of this is we say, I have a solution for all your problems in life. Follow Yetzirah and Yetzirah. What does that mean? He doesn't say, well, this spells out to do all the good things and don't do all the bad things. He's saying, no, I have a simpler way for you to work or a more inner way for you to work. Become a kind of person who follows his Yetzirah, which means his good drive, in other words, his reasonable drive, or his, you could say, follow the Torah, obey the law if you want, and don't obey the Yetzirah. Don't obey your Tivus. It's not so crazy like I presented it to be.
That's the whole point. Yeah.
No. I don't mean even right thing. Let's say a person, right? You could either go you have a cheshek right now to do two things. Either go to a strip club or go and be mechadash toilet. Yeah? Literally.
Wait, I'm going to tell you something.
It lives within me. Yeah? I'm saying, within the same person. Either go.
Yes.
You go and now sit for the next 6 hours. And
so again, the yid that says this will tell you, you have another problem. Besides, your problem, I mean, right now you have the problem of choosing between these desires or deciding which one is good. I have a solution for you that will solve the whole thing, Mayakuda. Don't, when you decide where to go tonight, don't decide it based on where you desire to go. Decide on what is correct or on what Eretz Yitzchak says or something like that. Whoa. And therefore, you will automatically not have this question anymore. You will just go to the shul because that's what the correct thing to do is.
No, what I'm trying is, we all know what the good desire is here, right? Versus what the bad desire is.
No, desire is bad. There's no good desires in
this.
That's
what I'm asking. Is it possible just to have a good desire?
No, because when I say desire, I don't mean to like something. Just to be clear, the word desire means like, that's something I'm telling you, keep on telling you. The word desire means something different here. The word desire means the kind desire as a source of the good, as a criteria of good, as a criteria of action. That's what we mean, really.
But now you're just changing the definition.
Yes, yes, that's what it means. Not changing the definition, that's what it means. Whenever anyone gives you this drasha against being a Baal Ta'anit, that's what they mean. Obviously, it's about this, right? And the other person is disagreeing with this, just to be clear. This is what the machloikas is about.
If wanting something should be the reason why you do things.
Desiring, one thing is a little bit more too
desiring.
Broad, but yeah. Desiring, as in thinking that will bring you pleasure, or something like that, or honor, maybe there's different desires, but...
So you shouldn't do it?
Irrational desires. You shouldn't do anything based on that, yes.
Even if they're good things?
The point is that desire is not a good thing. There isn't good desires. Good desire, when I say desire, I mean uncontrolled desire, right? That's what I mean. When you say the desire that the Yetzer Tov is masking, you're talking about something else. You're talking about some kind of... By the way, another way, if you want to spell it out like this, you could spell it out like someone that has some kind of crazy taiva to learn, that's a bad thing too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You should have a reasonable taiva to learn, but that's not a taiva. Then you're not following a taiva. You enjoy it, not against enjoying good things. It's against the enjoyment, which is a, by nature an uncontrolled thing, being the guide of your actions.
So the two shittas says, one is just combat the notion of desire, or channel the notion of desire.
Well, the other shittas says that this is not a very good way of framing things. It's mostly a question of how to frame the thing.
They're not focusing on the, like, let's say, the action itself, which is bad. They're focusing on where is the wanting of doing the action. Which is always bad.
Again, this person says that Lois Ahmed is a thing... No, that's what he disagrees with you. He says that Lois Ahmed means don't be a desirous person, which
it's
will...
It's Philo.
Being a desirous... Yes.
It's Philo. I'm
saying
Philo
and some other
Bidon. Be Sachmed, but be Sachmed your wife and your house and your...
The other Shitta says... Now we could go back to think what the other Shitta says, because now you at least understand what this guy is saying. He's not just saying random things, don't do things that you like. He's saying that liking is not a reason to do things. Now, the other person says... Well, the problem with your theory is that it's underspecified. You think that you're solving, you're going to make me into a less desirous person, and it sounds correct. It sounds correct that a less desirous person will have a better life. And will have less desirousness, as you would say. Right? Will have less issues to solve. But this person will tell you, and if you mean that, it's somewhat correct even. We agree that desire shouldn't be the criteria. Or another way to say something like, if you say there's a life of pleasure, or a life of desire versus a life of reason, or a life of restraint, or a life of some other way of saying the good, I 100% agree with you. There's no debate about this. There's no debate. The debate is, if this is a very good way to spell out how to work. Why? Because the other person says that you are assuming that the way people actually work most of the time is by deciding if desire is their criteria. That this is like how decisions are made, or how fights happen, or how internal fights happen. But I think that this is not really how things... So there's a few things. This is the first thing that is the main thing that he would say. He would say something that, no, desire is, in the greater sense, precisely in the greater sense that you're saying, if you're talking about an uncontrolled desire, nobody disagrees that that's a bad thing in itself. It's like a bad middah. There's a specific bad thing. And that might be one of the bad middahs that I will be against when I get into my detailed account of bad middahs. One of them is to chase uncontrolled desires or uncontrolled pleasures. No problem with that. What I disagree with is that this is a good cloud, this is a good generalization of becoming a good person. And why? Because I tell you that look around life, think about your life, think about the times in which you had some kind of moral progress or regress or debates or conflicts, internal conflicts and so on. And find me one that can be well described by this story. And I claim that there isn't any.
You describe a story of desiring something.
Of deciding if desire is the criteria.
Meaning, like, on the good sense of things. Like, when you want to do good.
I think desire is a very good criteria for a lot of good things. Like, I think in business, it's like, yeah, sometimes you, like, have this passion, this chulim, this desire to... create the internet.
Nobody disagrees that that's bad, what you're describing. That's a description of the Yetzer Hara.
Right, but
that there's
but
that bad.
It brings good results.
No, brings bad results.
Really?
Yeah, of course.
Which bad results?
Everyone, nobody, that's
anyone
like...
Anyone that does something with a passion, I think it's creative.
Yeah, very good. That's a very modern, extreme inversion of ethics.
Fine,
passion doesn't make things good.
In other words, explain to me why it's bad, but the results are good.
The results are not good. What are you talking about? If the results are good, they're good after being controlled. They're not good. What are you talking about? The results are not good. The results of following your passions are by definition bad. Because bad just means under no guidance, under no reason, under no idea of how it's good.
You have to put these people in cells usually.
Well, this isn't going to go in the cell, right?
What's that?
Ford didn't go into something. These people had passions and wills and desires, and they created empire.
No. This is absolutely the opposite. Absolutely the opposite. This is the example in any, just to be clear, any like ancient text would use all these examples that you're using as the example of a life gone extremely wrong.
Okay, so now explain how it's wrong.
Because he had a bad life. He's chasing money all his life and girls. What kind of life is that?
What, did they do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, money, ambition, power. That's what it is, right? What's so good about that? Your role models are evil. And this is not my douche now.
No, it doesn't have to be that that's the whole thing. It's not true. I don't think they only...
What do you mean it's not true? It's literally
body
true.
Body comes from it, but that's not what I'm trying to say. I'm saying you created a new world, a completely new world.
Yeah, based on what I want,
yeah,
not based on any idea of anything else.
But after they did that,
they envisioned the world and they said, oh my goodness, we could have people doing
so
much easier. People doing a lot of things much easier.
After they did it, then what?
What do you mean then what?
So what was their passion after that? They still had the passion, right? Passion for what? They didn't innovate any new things. He just came up with a car. And then he wrote off that.
That's a bad thing. I don't get why you think that's a good thing. I have no idea. Like, based on what is, if it's a good thing, then you don't need passion to explain why it's a good thing. When you make the passion into a good thing, that is the exact problem. And in other words, there's nothing to distinguish that guy that you're for some reason praising from the guy whose passion was to kill as many prostitutes as possible, and he ended up killing 102.
What?
I don't know, some serial killer. It's a great passion. Don't ask me. And he planned it, and he created a whole system how to work with it. And then didn't get caught yet, or did get caught, or whatever, and that was part of the plan. Who knows? I mean, the passion can't be a reason to do things. Did I say that? I know what you're talking about, but this is not... I have to get to the other side now.
I think passion is a great driver for creation.
Again, if we're talking about a reason for things being good, a way of living your life based on, that is almost the definition of evil, specifically in the examples that you're giving. That's what the Yetzirah means. That's what means you're living your whole life in the worship of the Yetzirah. And fulfilling your desires. Or we could call them specifically your unreasoned desires. If someone says the opposite, if someone says, I think this is so good, now. And since it's so good, I desire it. Then it's not desire that's leading you; it's the good that's leading you. That's a very different story. But if you say the story as the passion being the driving, the reason, then that's a very weird story to think that is good. It sounds very weird.
Like a Hashverish. People who are like, I think a lot of times people describe bad doctors as people who almost want people to be sick in order to heal them, right?
Okay.
Because they have such a desire to heal people, right? And it's not even a desire to heal people, it's a desire to be the one responsible for their healing, right?
It's a desire for COVID, that's a desire for COVID.
Yeah, but that would be different from a doctor who thinks that cancer
is
so terrible that he wants
to
cure
him. The guy that has the passion to the thing. The guy that holds the book back.
Yeah, exactly. He's the doctor who loves health so much, or thinks the health is such a good thing, that he has a passion for it.
But he's actually very good at what he does, but you need the surgery.
I'm arguing that the bad doctor is the one who tries to heal people, and the good doctor is the one who tries to heal sicknesses.
Don't forget to take your fifth
pool. Anyways, I'm not going to get into this. You should notice that there's a modern ideal of praising passion, which is precisely the thing described as monstrous evil in every book prior to like 1600. You should notice this at least. This is one of my like things. Like, just notice. There's something really weird going on here.
Well,
okay, now let's move on. I'm not asking. I'm just telling
you.
I'm not asking.
I understand what you're saying ethically, but at the end of the day, we see a lot of things.
You see that great thing?
Great
in the sense of big. Yeah, nobody disagrees with that.
No,
that's the problem.
The world is very different because of these people.
Worse, you mean? You mean worse?
Are they worse? Yeah. The fact that I could drive from, like, with the howl?
It's a really bad thing. I'm really against it. You should come here on Shabbos and here explain why cars are the evilest thing to befall humanity ever. Okay.
Is it bad then?
Yeah, extremely bad.
So you're
destruction of everything.
Oh, so you think that the industrial...
I mean, there's a question, I don't mean to give this as a positive claim. What I mean to say is that the passion is not a reason for the being good. Is it good? Very questionable. Absolutely very questionable.
And if it is, I'm just saying that...
If it is, then it's good because it's good, not because some guy liked it.
And the internet is good?
No.
No?
Of course not.
The internet is not good?
What does that even mean, this question? Is sand good? Like, is the sea good? You have to, refine your questions a little more. Is fire good?
I could talk to whoever, whenever, however.
But you noticed how you right away get into this want, whenever I want. Doing whatever you want, enabling people to do whatever they want is a bad thing.
I said I could.
Yeah, I could. Do that. Why would you do that?
Because I'm able to.
Thank you very much. That's the definition of unrestrained passion or unrestrained wants. Now we can do more things that we want. That is a bad thing, not a good thing. Not
pashut. What do you mean if I owe you money, right? So it used to be that I had to go to the bank, and travel around the world
right? We actually see that people return their debts better since there's internet, right? That's like a reality, right? Or you're like a fantasy that you're giving me now.
But it's possible for me to do it in a quicker way.
But you're focusing on the possible instead of the actually doing. A good innovation would be one that makes people actually repay their debts better. Being able, in other words, you can do whatever you want, that is the bad thing. That is not the good thing. So expanding abilities is only a good thing if the thing you prioritize the most, if you think the thing is the best, being able to do what you want. But that's the worst thing. Or not the worst thing. That's traditionally seen as the worst thing. I'm here to argue with this simplification here, but you have to understand what it is. Being able to do what you want, that's what the sutton said. Why would being able to do all kinds of things be a good thing? That's a bad thing.
In my mouth.
No, I'm not putting it in my mouth.
I'm saying, the metzias is, let's say, from, like I said, I want to come to this shit,
so much.
So it could have taken me either 17 minutes or it could have been 3 hours.
No, that's just, oh my God, no, that's not true. Firstly, it's not true. No, it's not a good mushul, because, you should think before you speak. What are you even saying? What? This is solving a problem? That's really why cars are invented, so you should come to the shir? It's not a tiny mushul. I can't even get into this, because if you should think about this. You should try to take it apart and realize what is behind thinking that this is good, because it's not good. I don't think it's good. I don't even think that it's good you should come to my shir in 70 minutes. I think it's really evil. I think it makes the shir worse, makes you worse, makes the whole world worse. But that's just me giving a positive argument for why it would be like that.
But the people that are watching you right now online, that makes it better or worse?
Worse, of course. Uh-huh. Makes the world worse. The fact that you could watch me online without coming here is making the world worse. Of course it is. Now, since we live in the evil world, should you watch me instead of some other nonsense? That's a different discussion. But, of course, the ability, the expansion of ability is like the expansion of desire. And therefore, the more a person is a kind of person who could do what he wants, and all of this technology, when it's praised precisely in this way. It expands humans, freedom, right? Now you can do what you want. In other words, it makes us worse people. This, the kind of praises, the praising of the evil, right? Well, do you need great ability to do great good things too? Yes, but the good doesn't consist of the ability. The good consists precisely of putting a limit on the ability and saying you only do it in this way. Now, that's not a praise of the inventor. That's a praise of me that's using it in only the good way. But therefore, I don't owe anything to the guy that invented the internet, because he only gave me the Yetzer Hara. Just like I don't owe anything to my body or to whatever that is the base of the things that we act in life. The thing that gets praise or deserves praise is what puts limits on that, not what creates the ability, right? Creating abilities is always bad. It's the definition of bad.
So we should go back to the story.
Bad here is not so bad, just to be clear. Bad is the base of good, always.
So the inventor of the wheel is also just
extremely
a
bad guy.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Okay.
You read the story. Did you read the story of the Etz Hadas ever?
No, fine.
That's what it says then. Did you read the myth of Prometheus? This base, fundamentally human myths that all say this. Expansion of abilities is bad. Nothing new here. And again, does that mean that there's nothing to do after that? No. But the praising of precisely what is seen as the problem, as the solution, that is a real inversion. That's really weird. Like, you allowed me to come to the shir. Allowing is a bad thing. You may, if there would be someone that would invent a machine that makes you come to the shir in 17 minutes, that would be a good invention. But allowing is a bad invention. And unfortunately, cars don't make you come to the shir yet. They allow you. Right?
New line of cars.
What? That would be a good line of cars. The problem is that cars as a material invention can't be that, because that's what matter is, potential. It can't be that. The only kind of invention that is that is people that invent religions, or that invent cultures, or that invent some kind of social human soul, like systems that work on human souls to limit them, to teach them what is good. And does that happen with great ambition or great passion? You could describe it that way, but I never heard anyone describing like Moshe Rabbeinu or even any other founder of religion as a guy of great passion. They have different ways of describing them. Why? Not because they didn't work with great passion. It takes a great, like we call it, emotional energy to be that. But the reason they're not described that, because that's not the primary things that make them interesting. The primary thing that makes them interesting is their limitations that they have, right? Their ideas of what is good and what is bad. Moshe was the one that came up with 365 ways of being bad and 248 ways of being good. That was his whole thing.
So what does Ahava Azza mean when we're talking about Ahava Hashem? Like as like the Tav of Mishkul, what does that mean?
It means nothing. You shouldn't read those books that say those things. They're silly.
The Rambam says those things.
No, the Rambam says. Ram says. Okay, you didn't read it. You didn't read it well. I know this is a Chassidish misreading of the Ram. Ram didn't say anything like that. The Ram didn't say anything like that. Yes. The Chassidim are. I know, but you went to Chassidish Chayder and they gave you these glasses, and now you see this weird, evil praise of unrestrained passion as a good thing, even in pursuit of the good. And because they lived after, you know, a certain period of time. And this is weird. Like, this romanticization of, like, great passion for God. It's nonsense. Great passion for God only causes problems. Did you ever hear the story of the Olam HaToy? Of Kabbalah? You heard it?
Mm-hmm.
You know why the vessels broke? Because they wanted God too much. It's an endless smokani. It's a bad thing. When the Yidden said it's an endless smokani, God's answer was, please don't. Did you read the story? All the stories are the opposite. They're creating limits. They're not of creating Ahava Azza. So the Rambam, of course, doesn't say that. He says the opposite of that.
They said
they
don't hear
anymore
from you.
Well, Hashem was happy with that. Yeah? Hashem was very happy. Of course, there's a Gemara that says the opposite. But, yeah, what? No. No, because, like, there's so much confusion. I'm just trying to point at the point, like, what I'm doing right now is not really teaching because I'm just, like, throwing the thing. But, you should realize that there's something really weird with this praise of passion, even in the sense, and precisely in this sense of an unrestrained desire. Precisely in that sense. Say, well, what if it's good, that sometimes it causes good things. No, that is what the evil means.
He literally gives the motion with the girl.
Ich weiß exactly what they mean. And you read it upside down. And because you have to like know how the Rambam thinks about these things. And understand what he's trying to say. Like, it's like whenever someone uses a mushal, like you always put in your own conceptions of that mushal into the mushal, and you think that he's imagining things. That's why mushalim are evil. Anyways, even the Rambam's mushalim should have not done the mushal. Would have been better without it, because at least people wouldn't invent random things.
You
know why?
There's the words and
you know what's the cause of the Yetzer Hara? You know why there's still Yetzer Hara? Because the Nevi'im use Mishulim. That's why. Yeah. And then you're like, wait, they said it's a good thing. Shir HaShirim was written about that. Okay, now. Anyways, no, this is a serious thought about Chalm Shem Koyach.
It's a good thing in the right place.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's not a good thing. If that is the criteria, then it's not a good thing. No, it's not a good thing. At least this is this theory. It says it's not a good thing. Good things are restrained things. Precisely the opposite. The more yakish someone is, the more better they are. That's also a weird mushal that's going to make you bad now. But that's my point. Restraint is good. And wildness is bad. I mean, civilization is good. And whatever the opposite of civilization is bad. Isn't that obvious? Now people come, well, no, civilization is based on these great passions that are really destructive. No, it's not. That's the background of civilization, yes. But it's based on restraining that. Is marriage based on sexual desire? Well, yes, but it's in some sense, in the sense of it, that being the base. Like, kakol yodem kalim lechepa. But marriage is based on the restraint of desire, or the organization of it, right? The submission of it, the giving it the correct limits. That's what it's based on. In a more real sense, than it's based on that. Where did we get into this? But anyways,
if you would build your worldview off of your sexual instinct, you probably wouldn't end up with marriage.
It's bad. It's bad for sex. No, it's not bad for sex, but it's bad for not. No, I'm just saying it's the background of it, but it's not the basis of it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think that people have felt that, right? Just to be clear, all the Baal Darshanim that give these drushes, you should get married because they're, you know, better sex. Their kids end up gay. Ah, stop. You got what I'm saying?
What?
Very simple.
Yeah, what was the connection?
As simple as that.
Ah, because like the Ramban, uh-huh.
Gay in the real sense, right? Not in the sense, I don't care who you're doing it with. In the sense of pursuing the pleasure instead of pursuing the kind of things that it's that limit the pleasure in some way. Or give it a form, right? Limited and not in the way of having less of it, in the way of it giving it a structure. Right.
Those people are upset about the old structure of making marriage and then starting to pretend that.
Because then this, like, hedonism is the correct result. So if everything is based on pleasure, then why shouldn't we just be wild hedonists? Turns out you don't have much pleasure doing that either, but that's a different problem.
Hedonism? What
yeah. That's the conclusion.
Hedonism is just the pursuit of pleasure, like, rampant pursuit of pleasure.
Like, why even struggle? Like how it says, right? Why do you have to buy a cow if you only need milk, right? So that's the conclusion if you think that it's based on that. If you understand that it's based on that in the sense of that being the prior situation that it starts with, if there wouldn't be that, of course we wouldn't need it or it wouldn't exist. But based on the precise opposite of that, based on the, how we call it, this discipline of that, right? Then you're going to end up with the discipline of it, okay? Now, kicking in the Rambam, you're not going to solve what you're looking for, right, by doing that. Not going to help you. Steist. So, where am I here? That's the all description of the ways in which claiming that the Sachmad is the problem makes some kind of sense. And that's the way in which it does make sense, I think. It does make sense in that way. Do you agree with me?
But this school is motivated by the right idea that desire definitely shouldn't be a motivation
right.
for action.
Or we could say something like, you should not live the life of desire. That
right.
shouldn't be your life.
Right.
Or that shouldn't
therefore,
be your
reason. Therefore, the suppression of desire is a good thing.
Oh, so now...
I'm saying that's the first
right,
school.
Right, there, right, you know, right. Therefore, the thing you should talk about, instead of talking about desiring the right things or doing the right things and so on, you should start by talking, like you should give drushes in... the against desire. That's the point. And describe how evil it is and how horrible it is and how stupid it is. And then you'll get people weaned off desire and they'll automatically basically be good people. Or you should train them, you should give them exercises for that, right?
It's like we're still going in Philo or we're...
Meanwhile, just telling you that, yeah. There's also, I could tell you something like, there's also certain practices that would be explained precisely by that. Just
fasting.
To be clear, what?
Fasting?
Yeah, or like the Rambam and also Rav Sadia explain all the Isirim Achalas are based in this way, right? So there is something true in this, right? So Rav Sadia wrote this poem, putting all the targets in the Seres Debris, and he follows Philo in putting all the things you're not allowed to eat into the Sachmaid. Because he understands the Sachmaid as this base idea of desire, and eating Chazer or eating Basa B'Cholav or Gedanasha are, in any case, whenever, no matter what their original reason is, they're still instances of suppressing your desire. And the Rambam would say this explicitly in Moed Nevarach, when he talks about Ha'am Mitzvahs. He gives this even as a klal. He says, in some sense, one goal, one objective of all the mitzvahs is, he calls it precious. right? Of course, this makes it more complicated, but suppression of desire. And therefore, would say something like, the main reason or one of the reasons why there's all these things that we don't eat is just to teach us that we don't do what we want. Like that kid said. And training you to be less a less desirous person. Now, what do I have against this? I don't have anything against this, now that I'm thinking about it. But the theory, the opinion of the Chachamim was not like this, right? Remember that the Chachamim has had, for various reasons, and it's not clear why, but the Chachamim assumed that lisachmal is something that you do, not something that you want, not a middah. They're almost explicitly opposed to mitzvah shebelev in this way. Not because they didn't believe in things in your heart, but because they didn't understand the best way of training a human being to be to tell him to be a less desirous person. And I think that this is because one thing we could see that happens when we do this, and we could see the people that focus in this way, is that they end up in the solipsistic loops that we discussed last time. That you end up focusing so much on not being a desirous person that you forget to be a good person. And it seems to me not correct, although it's true that this is a being a desirous person is very, very easy way to become horrible. That's true. But not being a desirous person is not a quick way to become good.
So
that's what I think.
It's just
not enough.
Like a, at best a tool, whereas you want to explain the whole...
This theory is like being like Amin and Alachas. This is everything. And they would say, well, this has this place. This theory is even true in some very broad sense. But it's not practical enough. It's not true enough. It doesn't actually make you a good person. Being less of a Baltava doesn't often make you a good person. I'll explain you why. I think that the Chazon Ish in Amin HaBetochen gets this pretty well. Although he... It turned it so many times that it's weird, but I was thinking about this, Bera Gimel, that turns out the Chazon Ish is saying my shita.
Of course he is.
No, because the Chazon Ish often is like inherited this like ancient way of thinking and has no good way of expressing it, so it comes out very funny. But I think that he's really trying to get at it. And what is he saying, the Chazon Ish? Chazon Ish is saying that, wait a second. It's true that desire proper, like desire just as desire, lishma, is a weird thing. But let's be real. Firstly, very few people are actually like that. There are some people. But that's not the big problem in life. Secondly, this doesn't actually tell me how to act. Doesn't. You could be a mushed baltaiva, a grus oz garbatid in that sense, and still a big rusha. Even a big rusha in the taiva way. You could even be a ganif. Why could you be a ganif? Because ganiva is not defined by me not wanting things. It's defined by me taking something that doesn't belong to me. And how does not belong to me defined? Not by what I don't want, right? So this definition of not doing what you want is definitely not a good enough positive definition for what to do. It might be good as a negative definition for not what not to be not to make the criteria of all your actions. Or you could say like in a very general sense. So the answer to everything else is to do what is correct. But who decides what is correct is something entirely different.
Meaning this still enables what we might call casual gneva.
Not only casual. Even
no, I mean a casual in the sense of like apathetic and Ava.
Even in a certain sense, I think
I actually think
that's one thing, but I actually think that I was on say, but I think that even enables Gneva with wanting. Just not in this passionate way. Not in a wild way. In a restrained way.
Yeah.
But you could be a pretty nice guy in a
Gneva. One orange, not three.
Right? Like if we imagine like the caricature of this guy that we're against as some like weird, really. Like he said, most people don't have the ability to be that. But most people are not rich enough and not powerful enough to really be, extreme hedonists, to really follow their passions. Most people. That's why when we give these crazy examples of following a passion, we talk about extremely powerful people, right? Because most people can't follow their passions. They're limited by the reality that they live in, right? But if we take that as the kind of example, right? And then we say, okay, most people are not that. But most people still aren't good people. It didn't help. All the restraint that civilization put on people didn't make them into good people. They're still stealing and thieving and doing lesana all the time. So this doesn't seem to have actually been the final solution. And but
worse, they're just born.
Worse than?
Even worse, they're just born. Just maybe not doing unrestrained passion, but what are they?
You know? The more important thing is that interestingly, what is good and bad is defined by some kind of hard, cold, external reality, by other people. Okay, the Chazon Ish says by the halacha. That's just because he didn't have a way of saying this. But it's defined by other people. You being a really Uzgar to Baal Musid doesn't make you a guy that steals less. Amazingly. It makes you a very sensitive guy, but sensitive guys are not better guys. It might make you a very refined, mannered guy, but it doesn't make you necessarily a good guy. Or making necessarily a good guy is necessarily something that doesn't fit into this very nice grand scheme, something very detailed. Something about, well, this is his wife, but not that. And what if she's Mekudeshes and not Nesu'ah? What if she is Chetze Kurev La, Chetze Kurev La? Is me taking her okay or not? Well, if she's Chetze Kurev La, Chetze Kurev La, then you're a real Noyef and a Leisachmanik, also, even for wanting. If it's Chetze Kurev La, then you're a normal guy. This is not an example, that a weird halacha example that I gave you to find. This is how life works all the time. Right? Me going to the store and paying for something is absolutely normal according to everyone. And me going to your house and paying, or to the store before it was sold, or paying slightly less than the correct price, or slightly more than the price, is a really evil thing. Really evil thing. It's not just, not only this romantic evil is really evil, right? Regular everyday evil is also evil. Now that's most of the problems anyways. So it seems like prioritizing this like nice internal thing, there's something weird about that. That's the something unhelpful about it. It's not even clear that it solves the problem it pretends to solve. It might solve like some extreme cases, but it doesn't seem to solve the problem that it pretends to solve even. Another way of saying, this is what I've said, I don't know if we have to go this far, another way of saying this would be to say that, but like I said, if the way I explained it before, you understand that doesn't really get to the point, but another way of saying this would be to say that there's nothing wrong with desire. What is wrong with is with desiring the wrong thing. But I don't think it means that there's nothing wrong with desire. There's something wrong with desire as the God. But there's nothing wrong with desiring the right thing. All this argument is showing you that the priority, the main thing that we have to focus on in an ethical theory or in a mitzvah, is what the right thing, what the right actions are. For example, now I want to give, we're getting late, right? I want to give some examples of the difference, right?
That's still restraint, desire, ultimately, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's why I said it's not the real argument against it. I think the real argument is that it's somewhat too general or less helpful than it's said to be. It pretends to be this really helpful solution for everything, but it's not actually a really helpful solution for everything. Because the actual everything is defined by the outside things.
Large.
Yeah. Real life is usually defined by the outside things and not by inside things. Usually.
Even if you suppress desire in an undirected way, that doesn't help. That's what we're saying, right?
I'm not saying it doesn't help. It doesn't help enough as much as its promoters pretend that it helps. It's easier to see how destructive it is when taken to an extreme, and harder to see how not being that helps.
I think we can agree, and I think we argued about this a few weeks ago. I think I think it needs some degree of suppression just to allow you to.
Yes.
Last time you disagreed with me.
I don't remember. I think that it helps.
I think it needs some degree of suppression just to allow other things to come to the surface, even.
That's true, but that's another way of saying things like, again, going back to this extreme example, and you could say in some subtle sense, everyone is extreme, because people have a very difficult time even seeing something beyond their own desires, seeing that as a reason to do things, not seeing it, right? Most people, and even some Baal Musa, strengthen this by pretending that that's just what people are. It's not. Just in some level of what we call sometimes, people call that, I'm against calling it that way because it just makes it harder to see how simple it is. What some people call something as going out of your own ego or something like that is a necessary condition for anything, even for doing math. And it's a very simple thing, it's not so complicated. But it's true that that is needed. And some people, again, the extreme cases, I think it's easy to see how that's the problem. Like there are some people that never get beauty because beauty is not you, they get enjoyment from beauty. And modern discourse pretends that this makes sense, right? We can't really talk about what's beautiful, we can talk about what you enjoy. Beauty is subjective, which boils down to saying, there isn't beauty, there's only enjoyment, which is about me. But that's nonsense. Nobody really thinks that. Only extreme crazy people or people, our language, our society's language was created by really extremely crazy people, like the ones you mentioned before. And that's why it's very hard for us to talk about. But if you look around in daily life, you'll see that it's not that way. We're controlled by things outside us all the time. That's not a big chiddush, really. Or the same thing, people do understand motivation for something because it's good, and not just because they want it. And then, but why do you want it? It's good because you want it, blah, blah, blah. That's just words. So I think it's less helpful. It's easy to see how it helps in negate certain extreme issues, it's less easy to see how it actually helps, and also even less easy to see, therefore, how it succeeds at its own aims, which is like defining how to be good in this very general way, and saying that good consists of that, because it might be good as a negative thing, it doesn't seem to be good as a positive, and therefore, even what to want depends on what is correct to want. In other words, leisachmoed can only be defined after you know what belongs to you and what doesn't belong to you. If you talk about leisachmoed in a monetary sense, right? This says the Holy Ramban last week in Parashas Mishpatim. In the beginning of Parashas Mishpatim, Ramban says that Parashas Mishpatim and the whole drush over there is an expansion of the Aseres HaDibros. And he says that Parashas Mishpatim is an expansion of leisachmoed. Why doesn't he say leisachmoed? Maybe because he thought that means really God of the Nefeshes. I don't know. I think that because he understood that wanting, now I'll give you a third thing. I have to say the third pshat also on leisachmoed. This is the second pshat that I said last time, that being a kind of person that is wanting is after knowing what really belongs to you and what really doesn't belong really to you. And there's a lot of detail in that, which is means that if you don't, like Rav Sol Salanter says, people that don't learn Chosh Mishpat Abit by default ganovim. Because we don't really know usually what belongs to us or what our obligations are and so on. It's not natural. The natural thing of like, I don't take things that are not mine. No, the world is much more complicated. That more or less, more detailed than that. You have to figure out what your obligations are. I gave a very long drush about this last week in Bar Park, and it didn't help. Nobody understood what I said. Maybe I'll say it again. Anyways, yeah, but I don't have patience to repeat all of that. And that's what I understand to be the second pshat. And therefore, Lesachma, it turns out to be, like, I want to give an example that I might have said it here in another context before, but I think it's a good example of understanding the difference between the first version of internality and the second version, which is, I think, a more practical version, and also I think is more the pshat of Chazal and the Psukim when they talk about things. So people like the Chayav Salavas like to do this move, and I think it's a wrong move. They like to say things like, it says in Novi, from here we learn that what God wants is what's in your heart and not what you say. But that's not true. That's not what the Navi said. Right? Could I explain the difference? What the Navi said is like this. Someone comes and says, by davening, I love God. I believe in the truth. I believe that only God controls everything. And you don't get anything. You don't gain anything by going in bad ways and so on. That's what he says by davening. Okay? Now, there's two kinds of problems that we could call by a similar name with someone saying this. Both are called hypocrisy. Okay? Now, what is in the hypocrisy? When then, in the simple sense, what the Navi is criticizing. The Navi is criticizing someone who comes and says all these nice drushes about, you know, you have to have bitachon and God controls the world and we love Hashem and all of that. Turns out, whenever he lives his life, whenever he needs something, he forgets, doesn't really live with bitachon. Or he doesn't not steal because he thinks that God is just. He steals because he doesn't really trust that he'll get the things that he'll need without stealing, right? That's what the Iker Mitzvah of Bitochen is, not to steal, right? I told you this many times. So that's, now when he says this, you're a liar. You're not saying what you believe, what you live. That's called an hypocrite. And that's what Li means. Liba Rochik Meni, okay? You're not living that. That's what Liba means. And like I said, why is this called heart? Because you're saying the correct words, you might even sometimes do the correct actions, but you're the kind of person who always tends to do the opposite. That's all that heart means in this context. Now there's a different pshat, which is the Chavos Hovos pshat, or the Chassidish pshat sometimes, which says, means something like this. You could say words out of rote, and you don't mean it, you don't think what you say. You don't feel in your heart at the moment that you say you're not impressed, you're not excited, you're not dedicated, you're not devoted to the words you're saying, you're just saying them. And then there's someone else who, when he says it, he means it, right? He's like devoted to it, he's excited by the chassidim, think that it being excited or mispilous or having what they call high emotional energy in it is the good thing. And the Chavos Hovos seems to say things like that often. Now, you can understand that if my main problem is the first problem, someone might be saying it by rote, and he is believed by Korev Lelai. Because when he says Shema Yisrael, he lives in some sense in Shema Yisrael. Because he doesn't steal, because he believes that there's a God who provides for the people that don't steal. Now, the criticism of the Novi is not that he says Shema Yisrael quickly. Who cares if he says it quickly? Which mitzvah is it to say things? It doesn't help anyone. That's a B'liba Rech HaKimani. You shrine, and you get so emotional by the drusha, and you're really there, you're not thinking of any Machshav HaZaris, and you're a shakran, you're a bluffer. B'liba Rech HaKimani. You don't mean that. You don't believe that what you're saying. You have no idea what you're talking about.
It's like when you mentioned this. This is, I think I only heard, I don't know his conversation. That Danielle said, didn't say a kind of God, you know, Naira. Couldn't lie. He didn't think so. That was the...
Right. And the opposite guy, who is thinks that the internality is something inside, not what, how about how I feel, and there's some, like I explained before, there's some meaning, reason why people get to think things like that. He is, this is the problem that I'm getting at, that you make, like people think of the Lachavari also, right? The main thing is that you're a good person inside, right? I feel so bad for you. Give me your knife, the knife to shecht you. I feel so bad. I see people doing this every day. It's amazing, and they consider themselves good people. I feel so bad for you.
You mean when you
I'm
say
such
the
a
words,
good person.
You mean when you say the words, I feel
he means it when he says the words. I'm not saying that he's lying. Some people are lying. Some people are just psychopaths. When they say the words that I feel bad for you, it hurts me more than it hurts you, it doesn't hurt them. Some people it does hurt. He's not even lying. It really hurts him. But he's a bigger hypocrite.
Because he's still doing it.
Yeah. In other words, this is the second definition of middah that we're saying. Middah is someone who doesn't do it, who doesn't like doing it. If you're doing it and you feel bad, it's not even a contradiction. You have a, your own feelings is very cute, but I don't, who cares? It's not even a good feeling. There's nothing good about being that. You're not even a better person for that. You're a better, you have feelings. Who cares about your feelings?
Okay.
So that's the second thing. That's the second thing, and that's what Lisachmet, something like, I never wanted it, I just took it without wanting it. I'm not even Lisachmet. No, you're even Shnaim on
Lisachmet. So the other problem with Lisachmet could lead you to this, to do the right actions, right? If you use that as a tool,
you will sense. Do, no, the other Pshat Lisachmet is exactly be the kind of person for who other people's money is a thing that causes you to not want it. Be limited by that.
No, I know that, but if you like, it just it doesn't mean, I think maybe you could use it as a tool to get them to your Pshat.
The first one, you mean?
The first one you use as a tool.
I worry that it's usually used as a tool to not get to it.
Huh.
That's why I'm against it.
Why is that?
Because I notice the people thinking that way. I don't know. A lot of this is, some of this is theoretical about like ancient people and thinkers that have talked about this. And some of it is me noticing that we, in the sense of like the yeshivas that we all went to, inherited this bad version of internality. And it makes people worse usually instead of better. Because they think that they're good people because when they say Shema, they feel it. Or because when they say it hurts me, they feel it. Or
I'm
because
talking about the squashing desire.
That's the same idea. Squashing desire is also an internal thing. Everyone agrees that it's an internal thing. Like, I don't care about what I want. I do only what I think is correct. Yeah, but you never think of what's correct. Right? So it's true that you don't do what desire. I'm not even giving like this Musar argument that you're doing your Negiyas. No, you're a person pure from Negiyas. You're just still a bad person, like Chaznish would tell you, because you don't know what is yours and what is not yours. You never thought about, you never put a lot of effort into figuring out what your obligation, what your place in the world is, what belongs to you, what do you have to act. These are all external things, and you're not into an external things. You're just busy sitting by your stand there and being a good guy. And that's not a good guy. That's what I worried about. You get what I'm saying? It's like when someone would say something like, let's take an example of physical health, right? Of course, being a very desirous person is not conducive to physical health. You might drink too much, eat too much, and so on, right? But not being a desirous person doesn't make you healthy. You've got to actually find out what's healthy. There's no magic that says, people claim that there's such magic, but in general, not really like that. Like, no magic that says that once you won't eat for your tithes, you'll eat healthily. You might just eat kugel without tithes.
Just because something's bad access doesn't mean that all problems are solved when you make it... Like in deficiency.
Yeah, that's one way. I feel like there's a deeper problem here, but yeah, that's one problem. That is my bigger problem. I think that this doesn't actually help. You could work a lot on your Midas Lisachman and still be a Ganif, and it has nothing to do. It doesn't even help. It might help, like I said, he says it helps
so
in extreme cases. I don't even know.
He said he should work on not being a Ganif.
Yeah, right. And then when you stop being a Ganav, you stop wanting to be a Ganav also. And that's called having the middle of the Sachmoid, according to me.
So they're like confusing that the internality comes first and you're saying it comes second.
Exactly. It comes first in the order of reality because
right.
People act from their internals. But it comes second in the order of theory. Like what defines the good person, like I said, what defines the person who is not the Liberucha Kemani is how he acts, what he means when he says. Of course, the person who says it that way, when he says it, it's also coming in a certain sense more from his internals. It's true that it's less external. The guy that doesn't live what he says by his drushes, when he says it, he's lying. which is the clearest case of someone speaking externally, right? His mouth is saying it, but his heart doesn't say it. But firstly, heart doesn't mean feelings boy bayom at that moment, right? It's this very weird thing where lying is not the conformity of your external state to your internal state when you're lying. A good liar lies when his thoughts too. It's not when I'm lying, I'm thinking, no, that's a lie. Lying is the non-conformance of your words to the reality, right? Now, that reality is what we call the most internal thing. But it's the external reality, so to speak, the thing outside yourself, or at least outside yourself at that moment, is the criteria for what makes it not a lie. Does that make sense? There's a third Pshat L'Nei Sachma that I have to get to, but I'm going to stop here because it's connected with too many things that it's going to take me too much time to figure out.
With the Chavis HaVaras, for some, not related, just anyway, what does he do with what he said? Was that, how do you say the words?
I don't think it's important. It might be a practice for something, like just for focus or meditation, but I don't think it's important at all. Personally.
He seems to think it's important.
He probably
does.
That's
what I'm saying. So
I think Chazal does a lot of these rhetorical tricks where he takes things that meant something totally different and pretends that they mean what he wants.
I think
this
shot works better than the pasuk, by the way.
I'm saying he kind of like asks it on himself, but it isn't really
answered. If Thomas desires spiraling
like,
at a point,
why do we need these words if really it's all
right,
in
but,
your heart? You know?
Okay, that's a different question.
What you
basically
think. Oh, the
I'm talking about actions.
Because,
yeah, that's a question about words.
Just,
but my question is about actions.
Easier this way.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah.
Easier this way. That
desires
get
more and more out of
doesn't
control.
Get to what
mm-hmm.
what the
right.
what the real thing is.
Yeah, the words is a different question, really. But yeah. Okay, I have to start off the video.